which is the most congested area in the state. You know the facts, so I'll just mention a few briefly. Within a 5.5 mile distance, there are 9 interchanges which contribute to the excessive merging and weaving that creates a very unsafe and congested conditions. This section of I-5 is the highest accident rate of any interstate highway in the entire state of Oregon. By 2030, the number of automobiles is expected to increase by almost 40%, while the number of freight trucks is expected to increase by 80%. Our trucks are larger, heavier, and usually oversized, so we have a slower acceleration and deceleration rate. But trucks overall are involved in 50% more crashes than the cars on a per vehicle basis on that portion of I-5. Trucks must rely on the outside drop and add lanes for their safe operation. When you constrain the road, that makes their movements on the primary travel lanes. If I may just say a couple quick things. In the past 5 years, 7 out of our 8 accidents have been in the Project Confluence area. The average vehicle damage has been $1,450, which doesn't sound bad, but the average settlement has been $46,000 per accident. Frankly, that ultimately gets, that cost goes to the neighborhood or to the community. My recommendation is to go with a 12-lane option, because it removes the congestion and the safety hotspots, while the 10-lane option leaves 5 unaddressed hotspots. The 12-lane option results in 20% less collisions than the 10-lane option and 50% less collisions than the 8-lane option.
And I want to thank you for your testimony. I'll let you go 50 seconds over.
I see that. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Afternoon, Mayor and Council. My name is Michelle Poyero. I'm an advocate for the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and for our 5,000 members in Oregon and Southwest Washington. The BTA dedicated a staff person to a CRC subcommittee and to the project for the past 1.5 years, but we do not agree with some of the key claims that are being made by CRC staff and the DOTs about the effects of this project in our region. We believe the Columbia River Crossing can be built in a way that improves our economy and environment, but to do so, it must be both designed and tolled in a way that inhibits the induced demand, which usually accompanies new highway capacity of this magnitude. What is induced demand? It can be described as a supply of something, in this case, road capacity, actually leading to more demand for it, in this case, traffic. We can all see what happened to the Glen Jackson Bridge, which added lots of new capacity, lacked any tolls, and accordingly induced sprawling new development and therefore far more traffic than the planners had forecasted. That is why you must take the CRC projections with a grain of salt. Highway planners have been wrong in their projections before, many times over. The Glen Jackson Bridge is but one example of a growing history of road expansion projects that were meant to relieve congestion, but once built, generated more of it. Transportation infrastructure is different from other forms of infrastructure and from shoes because the supply and demand influence one another. If we build more schools, people do not have more children. If we build more sewers, people do not use the toilet more. But if we build bigger roads, people do drive more. I'd like to highlight 3 flaws in the project staff's current conclusions. 1, they claim that a 12-lane bridge will not induce much more traffic, but their analysis rests entirely on tolls, yet no agreement has been reached on tolls. 2, the use of the terms add, drop, and auxiliary lanes is misleading. One of them is nearly 5 miles long. More lanes across the river will move more traffic across the river, and it doesn't matter what you call them. 3, although CRC staff and the state highway departments will tell you that the projections were compiled by Metro, what they will not tell you is that Metro was instructed to hold land uses constant in all of those projections. So the question this council asked last spring, will the new highway capacity lead to changes in land use, becomes a tautology. The planners say the new capacity will not change land uses only because they were told to assume no changes in land uses. For your action on February 25th, we respectfully suggest that you tie any decision on the number of lanes to an agreement on tolling to manage demand and to balance auto, freight, and transit use over the I-5 and I-205 bridges. To do otherwise would mean a bridge of any width could become as gridlocked as it is today due to the induced demand that has not been included in the projections. And that is an outcome that would be bad for everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could you please submit your testimony in writing?
Sure.
Thank you.
Eileen.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and fellow commissioners. I'm here to support a 12-lane bridge with light rail. Naturally, I'm a TriMet director, so I like light rail. But let's build a bridge that we know is going to last 100 years, and let's build it for the future, not the past. I've attended a few hearings about this subject already, and Mr. Mayor, I compliment you for setting a deadline for decision time. It's time to poop or get off the pot. We've studied this thing. It's been engineered and re-engineered and re-engineered. Look, we deliver goods and services all over the metro area. You know, I'm also here for the Joint Council of Teamsters, so we represent over 20,000 people that are delivering the goods and services all over the metro area, and I include Vancouver as the part of metro Portland area. So we got to do it efficiently, and if we don't, our employers are going to leave this area. They've got to get the goods out to the marketplace. That makes just common sense. If it's goods or freight or whatever it is, if it doesn't move efficiently, employers will leave, and new employers won't want to come to our area. So our infrastructure must be improved. Now, I could take the attitude and say, we should, we got to think environmentally. So let's go back to horse and buggy. And that would develop some jobs for pooper scoopers. But we think progressively, all right? We got to move forward. So I'm encouraging you. Think progressively, and I will close. We have other drivers here that will tell you about safety on the road. I want to caution you on the tolls. Don't penalize people for going to work. That's what you're going to do that have to use that bridge. Set a reasonable toll. And I've heard talk from other areas that they don't think the tolls will be high enough. $2 is plenty high. For me, it should be 50 cents or a buck, but think about it hard. Don't penalize the citizens that already paid for the roads to come and go to work. Thank you very much.
Lynn, could I just make one comment?
Sure.
You're a director of TriMet, and recently during the weather emergency, TriMet provided the city with buses to transport homeless individuals and families to emergency shelters during the two-week stretch.
That's right.
And so I just want to publicly thank you for the support that you gave us during that time.
My pleasure.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Carla?
Next three are Dave Tully, Bill Sheltova, and Joe Delermink. They'll be followed by Judy O'Connor, Don Bivens, and Alden Roberts.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Thank you.
Who would like to go first?
You?
Yes. My name is Bill Sheltova, and I'm the president of the Teamsters Retirees Association. Thank you for having me here. I think that if you build a bridge with less than 12 lanes, it's ridiculous to even consider less, if anything more. I drove truck here since I got out of the Navy in 1946, and I've crossed the bridge when it was a toll bridge. And I've seen a lot of accidents. I've seen people killed on that bridge. And there's no question, but under 12 lanes, it would be a ridiculous thing. So it's a safety issue as well as the economic issue for our area. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council members. My name is Dave Tully. I'm with the Joint Council of Teamsters. We represent many companies that move freight up and down the I-5 corridor. As you know, replacing the I-5 bridge is long overdue. Many of our companies believe that that is the case. It's a good project. The traffic congestion on that bridge are awful. As we all know, it was designed over 100 years ago for horses, and horses are no longer on the bridge. Horsepower is on that bridge, and we need to make that bridge move. We need to make our freight move. Our companies lose money every day with idle drivers sitting there waiting for traffic to move. We've all seen the I-5 corridor being closed down recently due to the flooding up in the Cowlitz area. That corridor lost a lot of money, and companies lost a lot of money during that flood, and we don't need that kind of problem here with the I-5 bridge. This new project's for the next century, and it needs to be built for the next 20 years, but not for the also for the next 100 years. Therefore, we need to think out 100 years. The Teamsters and many companies that we are in contracts with are very supportive of the 12 lanes, and that includes light rail and pedestrian. And our community needs this badly, and I'd just like to say that please think progressively and think of the 12 lanes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor and City Council, my name's Joe DeVlemick, and I live in Northeast Portland, but I work over in Vancouver. I'm here representing myself. I'm not a Teamster, but I know him. I go across the river almost every day to go to work in Vancouver, working with the public employees over there. And so I'm the guy in the SUV, the single person, causing all the gridlock, you know, and all the pollution. And I don't ride a bike because I'd be late to most of my meetings at my age. So, and then transit doesn't go where I need it to go. I end up scheduling 2 to 3 hours to go over and sit in a coffee shop just to avoid the traffic or to get through the traffic and make plans so I can be on time for my meetings because the bridges today do not work, neither one of them, even though I'm coming from Portland to Vancouver. I'm not in the rush hour per se all the time. It's still congested. You still find times when it's bad. I see it as you got to build for the future. It should be the 12 lanes. It should be something we can be proud of for 100 years instead of coming back here in 20 years and saying we need another bridge someplace. The other thing is the tolls. You know, I don't like paying my water bill. I don't like paying, you know, my light bill and my cable bill. But, you know, at some point, you got to pay up, and if you want to have the services and the facilities, and I see this bridge as something that I'm willing to pay, just don't make it too bad on me. So, thank you.
Joe, you may not like paying your water bill, but you got to admit it's the best water in the world.
It is good water, yeah.
Said the water commissioner. Carla.
The next three are Judy O'Connor, Don Bivens, and Alden Roberts. They'll be followed by Lynn Whitwer, Randy Lauer, and Dave Fuller.
Welcome, Judy.
I'm Judy O'Connor, and I'm with the Northwest Oregon Labor Council. Mayor and commissioners, thank you for allowing this time today. I'm here to speak in favor of the 12-lane bridge, and also to say, you know, this isn't something new that all of a sudden, you know, 2 years ago people were talking about, let's make a bigger bridge, let's improve it, let's do something. This has been studied and studied. And I told someone this morning that if they were wanting to look for a new career, maybe they should go into some kind of consulting work on helping to study if we should continue with the new bridge and how many lanes and what we should do and how we should do it. You know, a lot of money has been spent doing this, not just only in the last 2 years, but over a long, long time. And I think it's time that, I think somebody said, do it or get off the pot. I agree. Let's don't waste any more time. We're talking at an economy that is struggling, and the longer we wait, I mean, we're 2 years out to get this done. Please don't let it wait any longer. There are people's lives and livelihoods that are at stake here, and I just ask that, you know, we all should be proud of what we do, and I'm proud of each one of you, and the legacy that you leave the legacy that for in the future, people will look back and say, thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for what you have done. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, Council, I'm Don Bivens. I'm the fire chief for the Vancouver Fire Department, and I want to hold my comments specifically to the safety aspects I feel I'm qualified to speak to. And I would speak in favor of the 12-lane option, and the reason for that is as vehicles enter and exit the freeway, the number of weaves that occur is directly proportional to the number of accidents that occur. The less the need for vehicles to change lanes, the less there are conflicts that end up in accidents. Beyond the accident piece, when in fact there is an accident on the bridge, my fire department, and I believe it's the same for your fire department, When we respond to those accidents, in order to protect the responders as well as the people who are injured and there to be treated involved in that accident, we pull our emergency vehicles at a diagonal to the accident scene to shield everybody downstream from the accident. By doing that, that typically takes up at least two, possibly three lanes of traffic, depending on where the vehicles have ended up. By doing that, currently, we're shutting down the freeway, which creates some significant safety and congestion issues upstream. With the 12-lane option, we have the ability to continue having lanes open and traffic continuing to flow while we treat the patients that are involved in the accident. Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
I'm a Dr. Alden Roberts. I'm Chief Medical Officer for Southwest Washington Medical Center. It's nice to be able to follow a first responder because it ties in nicely with what, from my position, I also support the 12-lane option. I'd like to address the issue in terms of the barrier that it proposes to the provision of emergency medical services. Most obvious of these is trauma. Trauma is a time-sensitive injury. Seriously injured people need to be taken care of rapidly. Anything which interferes with that makes the outcomes deteriorate. And there are three primary trauma centers in the region. One of them is Southwest Washington Medical Center, and the other two are Legacy Emanuel and OHSU. We transport patients interchangeably, and anything that interferes with that transport puts our patients at risk. A second and somewhat less obvious problem is that emergency rooms have to go on divert when they get overwhelmed, and we get overwhelmed about maybe 2 to 3 times a week, and ambulances have to be sent from one hospital to another, and commonly that's across the river. Anything which causes that to occur that slows down the transport of patients can tie up ambulances for excessive time periods, and it makes for much longer times for them to get back in service, and it's really hard on resource. And finally, we have physicians, nurses, and other hospital personnel who have to get back and forth across the river. Maybe they work at both at hospitals on both sides of the river. Maybe they live on one side of the river and the other. But we need to have efficient means of getting back and forth across, getting personnel back and forth across, and getting patients back and forth across. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much. Carla?
The next three are Lynn Whitwer, Randy Lauer, and Dave Fuller. They'll be followed by Jody Parker, Marie Dodds, and Tom Chamberlain.
Are you Lynn?
I am Lynn.
Okay. Randy Lauer and Dave Fuller.
Why don't you go ahead and begin, Lynn?
I had seen them earlier, so. I'm Lynn Whitwer. I'm the medical program director for Clark County Emergency Medical Services, which in a nutshell means I'm responsible to do the medical direction for the EMTs and paramedics in Clark County. The primary issue to have a medical director is to provide safety for the patient under the care of the paramedics and EMTs, as well as safety for the EMTs and paramedics. The bridge project is, you know, an integral issue in safety because at this present time we have 10.2% of AMR, which is our primary provider of ambulance transport in Clark County, 10.2% of those transports go across the bridge to Portland. Now, they do go across both bridges, but we have almost no problem with the 205 bridge as far as over congestion. I can count on one hand the number of times that it's been actually stopped for traffic. The I-5 bridge, however, is down for bridge raise, it's down for accidents, and even in the most, you know, few days ago, it was down for a period of time due to just a little bit of snow and problems with the traffic. This accounted for an increase of traffic from a VA transport to the VA in Portland from the Vancouver VA. Instead of a 35-minute transport, this became an hour and a half to two-hour transport. And that vehicle was then out of service for not only the 2 hours, but it was out of service for the remaining time it took to get back, another 2 hours. This is a fairly common occurrence. and it's been getting more common recently. And this puts, because we do a system status plan, we have our ambulances as part of the 911 system. They're also doing the transports from the hospital, transports patients wishing to go to Portland, patients wishing to go or being transported from one hospital to another. Shorten it up then, basically, I think there's a safety issue here. It's been a safety issue for a long time. I live in Portland. I know myself, and I know the difficulty of going just normal work transport to there. It's almost impossible to get an ambulance stuck on the bridge or on the I-5 leading to the bridge and expect them to get there with a healthy patient. So I would support the 12-lane with the offload lanes.
Thank you, sir.
Randy Lauer or Dave Fuller, we're not here. Okay, how about Jody Parker, Marie Dodds, and Tom Chamberlain?
Tom's here. And the three in waiting?
And after them, I have Sandra McDonough, Mike Morgan, and Jay Clemens.
Good afternoon. Welcome to City Council.
Good afternoon.
Tom.
Mayor Adams, members of the council, my name is Tom Chamberlain. I'm president of the Oregon AFL-CIO, representing 225,000 working families in the state of Oregon. I-5 is the lifeblood of the state. It's the highest density of populations along I-5, which is where our commerce is, and the bridge is so important. And I'll tell you, as a firefighter, with 25 years of service, listening to the chief, That's a very good reason to build that bridge, getting folks in and out of Jansen Beach, across the river. From a safety standpoint, this is oh so important. But as you look at that bridge, I want you to think of a couple of things. One is the plumber, the electrician, who doesn't have a choice of taking mass transit. He has to use that truck to get to work, and he has various work sites on both sides of the river. So I encourage you to build a bridge that has 12 lanes, and I encourage you to do it as quickly as possible, even though it probably will be 2 years before it starts.
Thanks, Tom. Hi.
Mayor Adams, commissioners, my name is Marie Dodds. I'm here from AAA Oregon, Idaho. I'm representing our more than 725,000 members. I'm also proud to have served on the 39-member task force that spent 3 years reviewing options for the new Columbia River crossing. A safer, less congested crossing is a critical issue for our AAA members. I believe the locally preferred alternative with the 12-lane option is the best way to meet our members' needs while planning for the economic and environmental future of our rapidly growing region. The locally preferred alternative decreases traffic by extending light rail to Clark County, according to Metro's traffic model. Without light rail and tolls, there would be 225,000 daily auto trips across the bridge. However, with the locally preferred alternative, there will only be 178,000 auto trips per day. For commuters who choose to drive, the crossing will also provide a bridge that is designed to meet modern seismic requirements. Currently, we have 300 accidents a year in the crossing area. It's estimated that the new bridge will reduce accidents by up to 75% by eliminating 10 high crash locations. Trucks are currently involved in more than twice as many collisions as other vehicles. According to research, the 12-lane option is the safest choice. In comparison, the 10-lane option would result in 20% more accidents, and the 8-lane option would result in 50% more accidents. In all lane options, improved interchange design will make I-5 safer for cars, buses, and trucks. The locally preferred alternative should reduce congestion dramatically without increasing the number of cars using the bridge. Fewer cars on the crossing will decrease commuter times and provide a safer means of transportation. I believe the locally preferred alternative with 12 lanes provides the best outcome for the mobility of Oregonians.
Thank you.
Wow. My name is Jody Parker. I work with our labor union, Laborers Local 320 here in Portland. I might be considered a lobbyist, but I'm just not going to go into it. There's a wealth of information here. I'm going to tell you briefly about a story that happened. I was a part of event in September 2001. I got the opportunity to work on the light rail project on Interstate Avenue, along with the bus miles and stuff, or the streetcar project. My daughter and son-in-law created this beautiful child that had yet to be born. I got a call about 3:15, 3:30 in the afternoon on a Thursday afternoon, and you know what traffic is like about that time. And it was my daughter panicked, first child, first huge contractions, and her husband was out in Beaverton, and I being out here on the IMAX or the Interstate Avenue project, had this beautiful little work truck with a little beacon on it, and I was trapped in traffic. And I tell you, I rolled down the window, I yelled, "My daughter is trying to have a baby. You have to let me through." And people let me across the Broadway. I did a lot of illegal things that afternoon in a company truck. But I put that flasher on, and I just drove like, you know, I was EMS. And I figured, worst case scenario, if I got a ticket, got pulled over on the using the commuter lane on I-5, I would stand accountable to that. That was my choice. I had a daughter. If you're a parent, if you've ever been in this situation, you know you're going to do what it takes. Build the project. I am not the only story of I'm late for dinner, I have an emergency, I have to get home. I'm only one of many people. So please, build it big, and I know it's 2 years out. Build it. Thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Next three are Sandra McDonough, Mike Morgan, and Jay Clemens. They'll be followed by Jonathan Schlechter, Corky Collier, and Rich Brown.
Good afternoon. Welcome to City Council.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, a member of Council. I'm Sandra McDonough, President and CEO of the Portland Business Alliance. I'm joined today by my colleague, Jay Clemens, the President of Associated Oregon Industry, and Mike Morgan, the Chair of the Oregon Business Association. We are working together on this project, and we're here today together to demonstrate to you that this project, the crossing, is important to all Oregon business. The new Oregon crossing, as you've heard, will provide safer travel, more commuter choice, and better freight mobility for our region. It will solve a wide range of transportation issues and help ensure the vitality of our local economy and reinforce the environmental ethics of our region. The members of the Portland Business Alliance want to build a strong economy, and they also want to adhere to the highest of environmental standards. The construction of a 12-lane crossing with high capacity for commuters and freight trucks accomplishes both of these goals. The existing I-5 bridge is outdated, it's unsafe, and it's a major contributor to traffic bottlenecks, and it has the highest accident rate on I-5. The bridge also is considered to be the weakest link on the entire trade corridor between Mexico and Canada. This impedes business transactions not only in this region, but on the entire West Coast. It weakens Portland area businesses and diminishes their competitive edge. This council has appropriately made job creation your number one priority in this bad economy, and you will accomplish this goal if you have strong business with the tools it takes to make that happen, including transportation corridors. We need a 12-lane crossing that has the capacity to support growing businesses now and in the future. We need a bridge that finally gets us light rail to Vancouver, offers alternative transportation options like bike lanes and pedestrian crossings, and can move cars and trucks. We don't want to underbuild and fall short of any of those needs and then be back here in 10 or 15 years and ask you to fix the crossing again. So we hope you will join us to support the 12-lane crossing. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Mike Morgan, Chair of the Oregon Business Association. You've all been adequately educated on the whys for the bridge. We have a short statement in writing that I would recommend you read and appreciate. If you do, I will make just a few points in order to reduce the volume of words here. We believe that action must be taken. Congestion on the bridge threatens our trade-dependent economy. No action is not really an option. OBA has been impressed with the research, effort, and public involvement that's gone into this. We are impressed by the multimodal crossing plan embracing a new bridge, a new light rail system, bike lanes, pedestrian lanes, improvements to the stretch of highway on either side to improve traffic flow. Under any configurations under consideration, the project is one of the most environmentally sustainable projects in the country, and that is very important to our members. Light rail is an absolutely critical addition to it in order to reduce greenhouse gas. I would add one thing that struck me during our deliberations on this topic is how important the crossing is to our businesses that are outside the Portland metro area. Business owners in Eastern Oregon were some of the strongest proponents because of the constant costly shipping delays they are experiencing. Similarly, for small businesses in Central and Southern Oregon who are members of ours and who are feeling financial losses due to that congestion. I'd like to commend the project staff for their work, and OBA supports the crossing. Thank you. Thank
you. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm Jay Clemens. I'm the President and Chief Executive Officer of Associated Oregon Industries. We represent about 1,600 companies across Oregon. 300 of our members are manufacturers. A great many more, like manufacturers, provide the primary jobs that import a great deal of wealth into Oregon. This project is important for many reasons, but I'd like to focus my remarks on the benefits for Oregon industry and freight. The freight industry needs a new crossing that supports the business it brings to Oregon. In 2005, $40.6 billion in freight crossed the I-5 bridge. By 2030, that value is expected to grow by 77% to more than $70 billion annually. More than $50 billion of that freight originates or exits from interchanges in the project area. This freight is important because it's bringing vital goods to and from our local businesses. Project staff estimates that a 12-lane crossing would bring $340 million in truck-specific benefits through 2040. The current bridge is stifling businesses' ability to ship their products and run a competitive business, something that eventually affects our entire state's economy. Freight traffic in and through Oregon is increasing, and we need to build a crossing that supports this. By 2030, truck traffic is estimated to increase at almost twice the rate of car traffic. In the no-build option, congestion will increase up to 15 hours per day. The 12-lane option will decrease congestion 3.5 to 5.5 hours per day during peak commute periods and not during midday freight peaks. The 12-lane option provides the greatest benefit to freight movement. Fewer hours of congestion keeps a region's freight economy flowing and competitive and will keep businesses and jobs in our region. According to conservative estimates by the Oregon Department of Transportation, the crossing will create between 40,000 and 53,000 new family wage jobs in construction, engineering, and other supportive roles. The crossing also will save jobs in Oregon. With increased costs due to delayed freight, our region risks losing 6,500 jobs annually by 2025 if the crossing is not built. The 12-lane option is the most beneficial choice for Oregon in freight industry, an industry that supports businesses and that drives our state's entire economy. Thank you for the time today. We appreciate your hearing us, and if you would like any point, we'd be glad to follow up and source any of the numbers that you've heard.
Thank you all very much.
The next three are Jonathan Schlechter, Corky Collier, and Rich Brown.
Thank you. Thank you. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Welcome to City Council.
Thank you. They'll be followed by Kathy Brooks, Jim Helzer, and Bob Bird.
Jonathan.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams, members of the Commission. For the record, my name is Jonathan Schlechter. I'm the Executive Director of Westside Economic Alliance, and I'm pleased to be joined by my colleagues from east side of the Willamette River and Corky Collier in a minute. But our groups share a common interest and I think a priority in the transportation needs of this region. And our group represents 150 employers and communities on the west side of the Portland metro region. So we're geographically removed from the project area that we call the Columbia River Crossing. But even so, we've identified 105 companies just in Washington County that ship containerized freight over the port of Portland and Vancouver docks. Freight mobility is very important to us. Beyond that, WorkSource Oregon has identified 15,000 workers a day who are commuting across the river to jobs in Washington County or in Clark County from Washington County. That's 7% of our workforce on the west side of the Portland metro region. To be competitive, we cannot lose or give up or lose the productivity of that big a workforce. So we have a decided interest and a decided investment in this project. Westside Economic Alliance believes that a new Interstate 5 bridge will improve access between Oregon and Washington and facilitate trade between our international ports, the industrial areas, and the employment centers, and stimulate economic development along the I-5 corridor in North Portland, at Jansen Beach, and in Vancouver. There's been a lot of talk here in your work session on Monday, and again here today in your hearing, about induced demand and the needs to control induced demand created by this new bridge. I'd like to offer a different perspective, if I might. And that is that we cannot reduce opportunity in this community. And with one of every 11 workers in our region currently out of work, 175,000 Oregonians scrambling to get back in the workforce, contribute to the economy of this state, we have got to get moving again. And I urge you to consideration those points as we take up this issue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Corey. Good afternoon. My name is Corky Collier, Executive Director of the Columbia Corridor Association. At a recent project sponsor council, Metro President Bragdon mentioned that 16 tolled lanes would be better than 8 non-tolled lanes. More to the point, recently at your joint meeting, Councilor Burkholder asked everybody to focus on outcome-oriented solutions. The problems that both were referring to are daunting ones: congestion, induced demand, sprawl, VMT. But all these problems change over time. It would make sense that an outcome-oriented solution would also be allowed to change over time. Now, if I'm trying to avoid going on a backpacking trip with friends, I don't know why I'd want to avoid it, but if I did, I could cut off a toe. That would solve my problem, but not a real good idea. Now, in this metaphor, of course, you've got to imagine I have 6 toes in each direction. And so what I suggest is that we keep all 6 of those toes, and that we have the problem for our solution be a variable one. Employ variable tolling. Restrict your lanes to HOV lanes. Make a freight-only lane if you want, bus-only lane. Make an emergency access lane if you want. But build it so that you have the options for the future. Build it so that people sitting in those chairs 50 years, 80 years from now, have those options in the future as well. So I suggest that you design a system that functions best. It looks like 6 lanes in each direction will reduce your VMT. It'll solve the congestion problems better. It'll give you options for HOV lanes. Most importantly, it'll improve safety. So I do please suggest that you keep all 6 toes.
Thank you. Rich.
Mayor Adams, members of the council, thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify. My name is Rich Brown. I'm Senior Vice President at Bank of America, and I'm a resident of Northeast Portland. I also was a member of the 39-member task force that spent 3 years looking at this. And I just want to kind of put my role in context on that committee, because it was a little bit different than many others, because I did not come to that task force representing a specific geography. I did not come representing a specific type of business. I wasn't representing freight or transportation mode. I just came there as somebody who's interested in the economic viability of this region and the livability of this region, and that's what I did. And as I sat through 3 years worth of meetings and listened to the research and the public testimony and the expert testimony, I did come to believe that the solution that we landed on with the locally preferred alternative was the right solution. And one of the things that I did focus on as I kind of went through this, I work for a company that is the largest lender to small businesses in the country. And So while there was a lot of focus on freight, and freight is very important, I don't want to minimize that at all, if you drive across that bridge anytime, take a look on either side of you and look at the number of service vehicles that are going back and forth. And it's been referenced several times today already. The number of people that have to get back and forth across that bridge during the day just to make their living. And so I think we need to keep that in mind. I want to reemphasize what others have about looking long-term in this, and I think if you do that, the 12-lane option is the option that makes the most sense. But with the 12-lane option, you still have a bridge that is embraces sustainable values and addresses the important components of pedestrian and light rail and bicycle, and all those are important.
Thank you.
Next three are Katie Brooks, Jim Helzer, and Bob Bird. They'll be followed by Lee Johnson, Pio Welch, and Jeanette Edmonds.
Good afternoon. Welcome to City Council. Katie, I think you're first up.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners, for holding this hearing today and taking testimony on this very, very important issue. Really appreciate that. I'm here on behalf of Larry Paulson, who is the Executive Director of the Port of Vancouver, and here to make a few brief comments, but I've also submitted for your consideration a letter that we wrote to the Project Sponsors Council regarding our position on the lanes. The Port of Vancouver advocates 12 lanes. One of the reasons why is a good example. We're one of the largest importers of wind energy projects in the United States, certainly one of the largest on the West Coast, and we're very, very fortunate. We've purchased recently two mobile harbor cranes, which are the largest in North America, for the explicit purpose of handling wind energy. Wind energy business is going to be with us for the next 5, 10, who knows how long, years in order to meet some of the alternative energy targets that we have for our country. And we're also seeing a lot of induced heavy cargo that comes in because we have these unique cranes. And needless to say, wind energy means big stuff, like 200 feet long, blades, nacelles, and other parts. There are 9 parts for every wind project that comes through for every turbine. So our position on how many lanes are in the Vancouver area, specifically in the bridge influence area, is an issue of merging and weaving. We look at these 3 additional add drop lanes as a safe way for us to maneuver oversized cargo and also just our regular freight, of which we expect to double in the next 10 to 15 years from our port alone. We still have about 600 acres of developable land that we're now working on filling. So this is an issue that affects our 2 only freight corridors, major freight corridors, between the Port of Vancouver and I-5. That's Mill Plain and Fourth Plain Boulevards. They're the only ways that we can access I-5, and needless to say, those are the only 2 intersections that we have to get on that system. And it's where most of the congestion occurs, and it's where trucks and oversized cargo need the most margin of safety. And we encourage you to consider this in your deliberations. At the end of the day, the entire Project Sponsors Council and all the elected officials on both sides of the river really need to come to a mutually beneficial decision, and we advocate that you all work together to find whatever that is, and soon. And again, I submit our letter for your edification. Thanks for having me here.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor and Councilman, I'm Bob Bird. As a resident and business owner in Vancouver, I often join the 180,000 vehicles that cross the I-5 bridge every day and conservatively have made in excess of 12,000 trips across the bridge myself. By any standard, the existing bridge is outdated and needs to be replaced. It has the highest accident rate of any section of I-5 from Mexico to Canada. We all know too well that this segment causes significant traffic congestion, driving up the cost of commerce and degrading our environment. The Columbia River Crossing Project addresses this local, state, and West Coast problem in a way that also reflects our values. From the start, this has been a project that was focused on including the different needs and perspectives of the region rather than excluding one in favor of the other. The project is comprehensive. Plans for the 5 mile influence area include a replacement bridge, light rail, modern bike and pedestrian paths, and improvements to 7 interchanges on both sides of the river. This proposal is referred to as a locally preferred alternative because, as a member of the 39-member task force consisting of representatives from Washington and Oregon, it was chosen over many other alternatives after several years of study and debate. The number of lanes to be included on the replacement bridge is the next decision to make. Relief of congestion, safety, and environmental considerations should be the priorities for the elected and appointed officials from Washington and Oregon serving on the project sponsors council, which will make this decision. We need to build a new crossing that supports sustainable economic growth. We need to reduce the number and severity of accidents, and we need a through and add-drop lane configuration that does not encourage unnecessary car use and supports our other needs. The CRC project engineers have compared a no-build option to 8, 10, and 12-lane options, each with 6 through lanes supplemented by add-drop lanes. The purpose of the add-drop lanes in each direction is to make entering and exiting the highway safer and smoother for car and truck traffic. Previous people have already mentioned the reduced accident rates and reduced congestion with a 12-lane option. So I would just urge you to support a 12-lane option to meet our future needs.
Thank you.
Mayor Adams and commissioners, my name is Jim Helser. I'm here representing my company, but primarily I'm here representing the West Vancouver Freight Alliance. I am the president of Helser Brothers Transfer. We are a heavy haul flatbed trucking operation located in the Rivergate area here in Portland. It was founded in 1902 by my grandfather, and we now operate 38 commercial trucks serving the steel and manufacturing interests of Oregon and Washington. Our primary service area is the Portland-Vancouver Commercial Zone and the I-5 corridor. We are very interested that safety and freight movement efficiency get emphasized in all decisions regarding the potential new bridge and its lane and interchange configurations. Accordingly, we belong to the West Vancouver Freight Alliance, which represents approximately 40 Vancouver and Portland businesses to whom safe and efficient freight movement is critical. The very abbreviated memorandum I'm about to read outlines the Freight Alliance's position regarding a 12-lane option for the Columbia River Crossing project. The full memorandum has been distributed to you or will be. The Freight Alliance supports 12 lanes due to the significant increase in safety for those who drive the CRC project area. This option includes an important add-drop lane that extends from the Victory Interstate ramps in Oregon to SR 500 in Washington, where safety and traffic flow is of most concern to us. As already stated, truck volume is projected to increase 80% and automobile volume 40% by 2030. These volumes, coupled with 7 interchanges within a 5-mile stretch, will require adequate weave and merge lanes. It is projected that 40 more accidents will occur in the CRC project area each year with a more limited 10-lane scenario rather than the safer 12-lane option we endorse. Many of these accidents will involve trucks, resulting in potential catastrophic personal injuries, property loss, and other negative economic impacts associated with ensuing congestion. Our region's transportation system must efficiently move freight, goods, services, and employees. If the CRC is underbuilt, it will impact jobs and the economic viability of local businesses. More than $40 billion of freight passes through the CRC project area each year, and that will increase to $72 billion by 2030. An additional investment of $100 million for the 12 lanes is minuscule in comparison and a bargain considering the safety and efficiency gains realized by the 12-lane option.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Appreciate you being here. Carla?
Next three are Lee Johnson, Pio Welch, and Jeanette Edmonds.
Carla, how many are left on the sheet?
About 32. Ooh. How about Russ Vail? Okay, and they will be followed by John Talbot, Les Bechtold, and Bill Scott.
Good afternoon. Welcome to City Council. Lee?
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Councilman and Councilwoman. Sorry about that.
Oh, commissioners, that works.
I have a company called Jet Delivery Systems, and we operate transportation in the four gateways, San Francisco, Seattle, PDX, and Los Angeles, and in between. We run the I-5 corridor every day and many times a day, north and south, the international freeway. Worldwide businesses locate in the Portland region, in Hillsboro, Tigard, Tualatin, Gresham, and in the Vancouver region, in Camas, Washougal, and Vancouver, and Battleground. We service those counts every day across all of the bridges in this city. We know this corridor very well. Portland region businesses' ability to remain competitive is largely dependent upon the market access and labor availability. Congestion, delay, safety are all critical factors that influence the productivity of business that relies on transportation as a major component in their business process. Jet's been in business for over 25 years. We know the transportation system in Oregon, Washington, and California. Believe me, the I-5 within the bridge influence is the most challenging segment of the transportation system. What I'm really saying, it is the worst. Accidents and delay are almost certain in this segment. And as business owners, those incidents add cost and rob from my bottom line. From a business owner's standpoint, to invest the amount of money we have been discussing and not fix the problem seems incredible even to consider. Any business would not last that if this was the approach taken for company capital investments. This project has been discussed for 10 years. It will be an investment that should last us more than 100. I urge you to make the prudent decision and build the 12-lane option to best address the problem for freight in this critical corridor. Susan Nielsen, an associate editor of The Oregonian, today wrote an article, her column, and I'll be damned if she didn't come to the same conclusion after she looked at all the alternatives. It's like my grandkids tell me, Grandpa, it's a no-brainer. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Jeanette Edmonds. I live in Clark County, Washington, and work in Vancouver. I feel that building a 12-lane transition interchange is critical to support goods movement up and down the I-5 corridor. 12 lanes are critical to passenger traffic as well. The portion of the I-5 project area in Washington needs significant upgrading for safety and to improve traffic mobility. Building 10 lanes will provide only minimal upgrading and will create bottlenecks on both sides when approaching and crossing the bridge, similar to the traffic flow we see today. The West Vancouver Freight Alliance letter to the CRC Project Sponsors Council and the CRC Project projects 40 more accidents will occur in the CRC area every year with a 10-lane scenario rather than 12 lanes. We expect decision makers to take all comments and concerns into sincere consideration. The Port of Vancouver has been extremely effective to voice the collective support of the WVFA, representing about 40 business members in Vancouver, and points made are constructive and sound. It is reported that building 12 lanes will support all traffic in the CRC project area for the next 100 years. And although there is short-term additional cost to build 12 lanes versus 10, it will cost exponentially more to expand the bridge again in 15 to 20 years. The cost of 40 more accidents per year is even more significant. It's not just about money. It's about lost lives and shattered families. Portland and Vancouver must come together to create a cohesive relationship that ensures mutual benefit. Vancouver cannot progress if we don't truly partner with Portland. Vancouver citizens have felt that we are not considered to be important to Portland, but together we are a major metropolitan area. If Vancouver is not supported by Portland, Vancouver's progress is thwarted. It's like living in a beautiful house with a neglected front yard. Vancouver is Portland's first and last impression. Let's make it a good one and show our state citizens that we're in this together. Thank you for hearing us.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Commissioners, I jumped in real quick because this is my ride back across the bridge.
Anyway, my name's Russ Vail. I'm here representing Frito-Lay, 23-year driver. I spend lots of time on the bridge back and forth. We make many trips across this bridge. We have warehouses at Jansen Beach and plus on the Vancouver side. So we're probably doing 30-plus trips a day back and forth across the bridge. And believe me, there'd be no more people that'd be happier than our drivers themselves to be able to fly across the bridge and back and forth rather than sit for hours on that bridge. We've got many hours logged that just sitting on the bridge between here and Jansen Beach. So let me see. So we were talking about the add-on drop-off lanes, which would be the two lanes that we add on to the 12, plus you guys were talking about the 10, and we were in favor of the 12 lane because of the drop, which would give us more, as far as less lane changes, less time spent on the bridge, and add up to less money and less travel time. So I'm here just to say that Frito-Lay, as a representative, is in favor of the 12-lane crossing. And in the future, I think it would save money in the long run as putting up a 12-lane versus a 10. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next three are John Talbot, Les Bechtolt, and Bill Scott. How about Dwayne Downs, Bob Short, Melinda Merrill?
Good afternoon, Bill.
Maria.
Why don't you go ahead and get started?
Maria Ward. She left.
Who's the next one?
Lynn Lerbeck.
He's gone already.
Jan Horner.
Oh, great.
And they'll be followed by Dave Fry, Joe Esmond, and Brad Houghton.
Mr. Scott.
Hey, I'm Bill Scott. I'm the general manager of Zipcar in Portland. I'm here because I'm gravely concerned that the continued pursuit of the Columbia River Crossing Project in its current form could waste precious time and money because I don't think we can pay for it. I urge you to take steps now to develop less expensive alternatives and at the very least keep your options open on the number of lanes. I come at this from perspectives I've developed in 9 years as Director of Economic and Community Development for the State of Oregon, as Chair of your Peak Oil Task Force in 2006 and 2007, and for the last 7 years at Zipcar. From the economic development perspective, I think you should take seriously the opportunity to take quick action to reduce congestion for freight, business travelers, and tourists. I was recently at a transportation conference associated with my work where research was presented on HOT, high occupancy toll lanes, where we can sell access to unused capacity or underused capacity at rates that are designed to optimize throughput and minimize congestion. Such a lane could be put on the existing HOV lane northbound in Portland. These lanes have been used successfully all over the world to maximize the capacity of existing infrastructure. Implementation here would not only start solving the problem in the next year instead of in 8 or 9 years, but would give you and the state transportation agencies real-world experience with road pricing in this corridor. From the peak oil perspective, you've adopted a goal to reduce vehicle miles traveled, or not to reduce energy, fossil fuel energy use in Portland by 50% over the next 25 years. In the transportation sector, most of that is going to have to come from reduction of VMT. I think we're still modeling and planning this project as if we're not going to reduce vehicle miles traveled by a major segment over the next few years. My own work convinces me that this is possible because of the number of people that are giving up their cars. I'm not sure you're going to have the need for this capacity when the bridge is built, and I urge you to look at tolling alternatives and keep your options open. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Shore. I'm with Glacier Northwest. We are a concrete, aggregate, and cement supplier in the Portland metro region. We are also operate a fleet of up to 175 ready-mix trucks, dump trucks, and bulk trucks on both sides of the river every day when we're busy. I'm a member of the Portland Freight Committee and the West Vancouver Freight Alliance, and I'm in favor of 12 lanes. I'm not going to repeat myself, but I want to make, or everybody else, but I want to make two quick points. One, when Mayor Adams first took over as transportation commissioner, he walked the Portland Freight Committee through a kind of an analysis of what happens in when you have an accident. Idea is you have an accident on I-5, what's the ripple effect, not only in terms of, you know, how far away does that accident